Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what we say, what we say. Good evening, good evening, good afternoon. This is Watchman on the Wall. Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. This is Elder G. Bazard coming to you from Warren, Ohio, and I'm going on down there into Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. Derek Oliver is the co-host. He's the one that's sponsoring me to be on this year's radio station called Watchman on the Wall. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be able to speak to you on the behalf of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I'm going to talk about him and what he's getting ready to do and what he has already done and what he is wanting you to do for those that don't know him in the pardon of their sins. Amen. It's so good to be here. It's so good to be alive. It's so good to be able to have the activity of my limbs and walk and talk with you a little bit. I'm going to try to get on here for 2 hours. I have Timothy Jackson supposed to come on with me later on. Amen. So you pray for him that he can come on with me and we can get right on down to the word of God. And before we get into it, we're going to ask you for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. Thank you one more time, one more day, one more hour, one more minute, one more second for sparing us another day, realizing everything is in your hand. You are all-powerful God. You're a God that never lost a battle. You're a God that's on time. You're a God that's never had to come into existence, because you always was and always will be in existence. You're a self-existent one. You have no end. You have no beginning and you have no end. The only one that have a beginning and an end is mankind. And we just thank God that he give us the opportunity to serve him and worship him. And we ask you right now, as we go into the word, that you anoint my lips of clay. Lord, we know your word is already blessed. We know your word is already powerful. You know your word is already ready. What thus says the Lord in these last and evil days? Yes, sir. This is Elder G. Bozard coming to you from Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, giving honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he is God himself manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, and is coming back again to get a church without a spot, a church without a wrinkle, a church without a blemish. He's getting a holy church, Holy Ghost-filled, baptized believers that's on fire for the Lord and filled with the love of God in their heart to see souls be saved and see souls to come in and be able to stand before the judgment seat and the Lord can say, well done. We just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for your love and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have no singing voice. I can't even sing, but I'm going to give a few verses of this. It goes like this. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, we need him today. We need him tomorrow. We need him for everlasting. Don't you know we are living in the close of what? The church age is getting ready to close. I'm going to take my time this evening because I want to get this in your heart, in your spirit. The church age is getting ready to close. In other words, the door is getting ready to be shut for the church to be on this earth for a short time. It ain't too much longer. The church is getting ready to leave. And why I say that? Because Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. The Son of Man is coming. Let me tell you something. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. We're going to prove it to you from the Word of God. The Word of God covers many subjects. Amen. I'm going to give you some subjects that the Bible covers. It covers everything that I'm speaking of right now. From Watchmen on the Wall, I can see this coming. I read about it's coming. It's been coming for a long time, a long time. Ever since Jesus Christ left this earth, he said he was coming back, and that's been 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said he was going to come back, and he's coming back as a thief in the night. And the thief in the night means he's going to come when people don't think he's coming. He's going to come exactly the time that he has appointed himself to come. And he said there's some certain things that's going to be fulfilled before he can come back and rapture the church, because that's the first thing going to take place pretty soon. Pretty soon, the church will be gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise. We that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This is what the Bible covers. This is what the Bible covers. According to the seven-year tribulation. This is what the Bible covers pertaining to the seven-year tribulation. These events will happen during the seven-year tribulation. The tribulation period cannot come. It will not come up on the earth until something happens. And what's going to happen is it's found in the Bible exactly what's going to happen before the seven-year tribulation starts off. Right now, we're living right on the razor edge of the return of Jesus Christ for the church. See, when Christ comes for the church, he's going to rapture the church. He's going to rapture it up from this earth. And that church is consisted of born-again believers baptized with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people say speaking in tongues. Everybody ain't going to speak in tongues when they get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Everybody's not going to do that. Some people may do it, and some may not do it. It all depends on the gift that God gives them to do it. So baptized with the Holy Ghost, the evidence that you have baptized with the Holy Ghost is not evidently speaking in tongues. The evidence that you have been born again and have been baptized with the Holy Ghost is you be changed. And the change is you begin to recognize the love of God. The love of God is the evidence. Wait a minute. I said the love of God is basically the evidence of the new birth. When you are born again, you receive the new birth. The new birth is consisted of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost come in, it brings the love of God. It brings the love of God into your heart. It changes your heart. It rejuvenates your heart. It cleanses your heart. You become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You are born again believer, and you grow in the love of God. You grow in the love of God. So what I'm saying, the evidence of the new birth is that you know, the Bible says you know you pass from death. There's no love in death. You know you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. What? The black brothers, the white brothers, the Chinese brothers, the Russian brothers, every human being up on this planet. When you receive the love of God, that love of God covers every person on this earth, because God is love. And those that have been born again receive the love of God in their hearts by faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again and come up from the grave, and now he's able to save. And then when you said that you have been born again, you are telling me that Jesus Christ literally, spiritually, authentically, uniquely comes into your life through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, When the Holy Spirit comes in, it comes in a abode in your spirit realm. And then it spreads all over you. Amen. You become a brand new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything else is new. So when Christ comes, he's not coming out to Baptist church or Presbyterian church or Catholic church or the church of now or the church of forever. He's not coming out of a Methodist church. He's not coming after a certain denominations of churches. No, that ain't in the Bible. He said he's coming after those that have been what? Born again. Born again. Born again. In other words, you have been what? Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life by faith and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin, and your sin can be forgiven by believing that God himself resurrected Jesus Christ himself from the dead, come out the grave on the third day morning, and got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Now you have to accept that, because what he did, he paid for your sins. When Christ died, he died for you. He died for me. He died for every human being up on the planet. Every living human being up on the planet, Jesus Christ died and paid the price for sin, past, present, and future. Now, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you love the black brother, you love the white brother, you love the Jewish brother, you love the Puerto Rican brother, you know the Mexican brother. Amen. You just love everybody. Everybody you love. You don't have no pets. You don't have certain people that you say you love and don't love. You got to love everybody before you get to heaven. And it can't be your love. It's got to be God's love. And God's love can only come by the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for sin. Your sin, my sin, your mama's sins, your daddy's sins, your kinfolks, your outlaws, your in-laws. He died for your sin. In other words, he took what? Your place. Your place was to hang on the cross. Your place was to be slain and killed and put in the grave. You die for your sin because there's no resurrection of yourself. You cannot resurrect yourself. And since you cannot resurrect yourself, that means that you will die, hang on the cross, put in the grave, and from there you go to hell. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You go to hell because it's going to take more than a human being to redeem mankind. It's going to take more than the angels. It's going to take more than cherubim or seraphim. It's going to take more than anything you got, and you ain't got nothing but a certain limitation. And it's going to take, actually, it's going to take Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ himself have to pay the penalty for not his sin, but your sin. And he's going to have power enough to resurrect himself from the dead on the third day morning. And he did that because Easter is coming up. In two more weeks, Easter will be here. And that's the resurrection morning that Jesus Christ got up out the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Now, if you can find somebody else that did exactly what Jesus Christ done, then let me tell you, I'll shut my Bible. I'll stop preaching. I'll stop preaching. If you can find somebody else that did what Jesus Christ did when he came down here and was born of a Virgin Mary and stayed on this earth 33.5 years and suffered and died for my sin, you find somebody else other than him, I'll stop preaching. I'll stop shouting. I'll stop loving. Why? Because number one, only Jesus and Jesus Christ alone is the only one that can bring salvation to your soul. And that's the most important thing you got. Don't you know you only got one soul? You got one soul to make sure that before you die, you got to make very, 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 very sure that you know Jesus Christ, and that you have repented of your sin, and that you believe that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And then when you receive Jesus Christ, you got to have a no-soul salvation. You see, I know I've been born again. I know I accepted Jesus Christ. I know I love the Lord. I know I love the Lord more than anything that I can think of. There's nothing more that I can love more than Jesus Christ, because he is my Savior. He is my hope. He is my joy. He is my bread. He is my water. He is my rock. He is my shelter. He is my fortress. He is my the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. He is everything to me, because he is what? God Almighty. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. God became human. And he gave his own self a name, and that name was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus means Savior, and Christ means anointed. He's the anointed one of God. God, the anointer, and when Christ came, that the word Christ means anointed one, and Jesus Christ is God Almighty, because God is the only anointer that can anoint, look here, anoint himself. When he was baptized, he comes straight way out of the water, heaven open, and he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And a dove came down and lit upon him, and that's reflecting on receiving the Holy Spirit. And after he received the Holy Spirit, which was himself, he went up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus Christ, let me tell you, he is God. He is God Almighty. So what I'm trying to tell you, we're gonna get down to the nitty-gritty in a minute. It tells you right here that in the book of Revelation, we're gonna cover Revelation in the 22nd. It's 22 verses. No, 22 chapters. And here how it goes. It goes here. The first thing that's going to happen in Revelation after the church age is over is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is what? The first event that's going to happen pretty soon. The removal of the body of Jesus Christ. What kind of body are you talking about in the Word of God? Let's go to this. Let's get this claim. Let's get this clear. Let's get this clear. Let's get the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we will find these words in the fifth chapter in the book of Ephesians, we will find what it says about the church. The fifth chapter in the book of Ephesians, starting at the 25th verse. Now listen to this. This is the church. This is the true church. This is the body of Christ. This is the Holy Spirit inside of the body of Christ, and this is how you're supposed to live according to the Holy Spirit and according to the Word of God. It says in the 25th verse, and what we're going to do, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might what? Sanctify, set apart from sin. So the true church has been set apart from sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Sanctify means to be set apart. Set apart from sin and degradation. Set apart from iniquity. Why? Your soul has been set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ and sanctified by the Spirit through the blood, and now you are sanctified, and it cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word. The washing of the water by the word, cleansing, that he might present to himself. God is going to present this church through Jesus Christ himself. A what? A glorious church. Not a church of lewdness, not a church of backbiting, not a church of loose living, not a church, a bunch of drug heads, or not a bunch of whoremongers and prostitution and all. That's not the church. That's Satan's church. And the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, so they are living free from sin. Their soul is set free. The spirit is set free. Why? By the blood of Jesus Christ. It's cleansed. It's pure. God has sanctified it and presented to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men are to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife, who he loves his wife, loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. So the church is a perfect, sanctified, cleansing, justified souls of men, souls that have given their life to Christ, sanctified. The soul has been set apart from sin. The spirit has been set apart from sin. So when you get saved, when you get sanctified, when you get justified, your soul becomes sinless. You can't sin no more. You cannot sin no more after you receive Jesus Christ. But there's another member that will give you trouble since you're still in the flesh. And that's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, because in the flesh is no good thing. The flesh cannot be saved. The flesh cannot be redeemed. The flesh cannot come to a point where it becomes sinless, because sin lies in you. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But see, you just live in a suitcase. Your soul is in a suitcase. And when Christ saved you, he saved your soul and your spirit from sin. So you are set apart from sin. Now you are to grow in grace. You are to let those sin things that the flesh is bothering you right now, what? Cut it off. Leave it alone. Get away from it. You can't serve two masters. And the world today is trying to serve two masters. They're trying to serve the devil, and they're trying to serve God. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and prostitution. You have to be saved before you can serve God. You have to be born again. And that's what Jesus Christ is coming after. He's coming after born-again believers that have given their life to Christ and have accepted the atonement for sin through Jesus Christ on the cross. If you don't accept the blood sacrifice that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, hung and died, 6 hours he hung on the cross, hung and died, dropped his head between his shoulders and gave up the ghost, and then went down into the bowels of hell and preached to those in prison and stayed there 3 days and three nights and came up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And guess what? You don't believe that. You reject that. You renege that. Guess what? If you die without repenting of your sins and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God loves you so much that he's willing to give your son, his son, up for you, that you can be saved. If you reject the whole plan of salvation and you die without Jesus Christ in your life, without repenting, without being baptized with the Holy Ghost, without confessing your sins to him, and what? Being renewed and being filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to die without Christ. You will go to hell. I didn't say that. You will go to hell. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees and a rabbi, he told Jesus, how can I be born again? Jesus said, what's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. He told Nicodemus, you got to have another birth before you can enter into the kingdom of God. God told Nicodemus this. And Nicodemus was a Jew, and he was a rabbi to the Pharisees and to the Jewish nation. And Jesus Christ told him, ye must be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, how can I be born again when I'm old? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, that ain't going to happen. Because when you're born of the flesh, that's flesh. But what's born of the spirit, that's spirit. And that's the new birth. And the only one can give you the new birth is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can only come into your heart through the blood of Jesus Christ by the Spirit. So when the Spirit comes in, that's the sacrifice that God gave, that God gave the world, that Jesus Christ would be sacrificed on the cross, that he would die for what? The whole world. He just didn't die for black folks. He didn't just die for the Jews. He just didn't die for pretty people. He died for the whole world. Make no difference who you are, what you are, where you going, where you coming from. You must be born again. Church membership ain't going to get you to heaven. Shaking the preacher's hand ain't going to get you to heaven. Paying your tithing offering ain't going to get you to heaven. Going to church all the days of your life ain't going to get you to heaven. Come on now. Singing in the choir ain't going to get you there. Paying your tithing ain't going to get you there. Shaking the preacher's hand ain't going to get you there. Being looking good and sweet and kind ain't going to get you there. You must be born again, and that's what's going to happen pretty soon, is when Christ comes to get the church, he's going to get all born again believers, and that's it. That's all he's going to pick up. He's going to pick up those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior in their life. So don't worry. Quit worrying whether you're going to go or not. You better find out for sure by confessing your sins to Christ and tell Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm a sinner. I am lost. I am undone. I ain't doing right. I ain't acting right. I ain't living right. I ain't thinking right. I want my whole life changed. I want you to come into my life and take away all these habits I got and all this hatred I got and all this lying I got and all this partying I got and all this stuff that I'm doing. I'm sorry, Father. I have sinned against you, and I'm going to repent of my sin and let you come into my life, because I'm confess with my mouth and be with my heart that you really, actually, uniquely died for me. You suffered for me. He suffered for the whole world. Now, you think, let me tell you something. If you think Jesus Christ suffered for you for nothing, do you think Jesus Christ, now listen, you think Jesus Christ is going to let you into heaven and you haven't accepted him? You haven't repented of your sins toward him? Do you think Jesus Christ is going to make another way to get you to heaven other than the cross? No. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it by your works. He's not going to do it by your looks. He's not going to do it by your study, your Bible. You got to come to Jesus and admit that you are low down, dirty, conniving sinner. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to humble yourself and submit yourself to the mighty hand of God. In the book of Revelation, in the fourth chapter, I'm going to show you the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church happened in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Let's get the book of Revelation. You got your Bibles with you? Here is the rapture. This is uniquely the rapture. This is authentic, the rapture of the church right here. Listen to what John said. John says, after this, after the church age, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. He said, a door was open in heaven. Who is the door? Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus Christ is the only opening that you can come through to get to heaven. And here John said, I saw a door open in heaven. In other words, there's going to be a opening in heaven pretty soon. And this opening is called the door. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, and it was of a trumpet. A trumpet will blow. A trumpet will blow, talking with me, and say, which said, come up hither. He said, come up hither. Come where? Come from earth to glory. Come from earth to the portals of heaven through that door. This is the rapture now. Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. After the church is over, age is over, and Christ removes his body. His body is not the church building. His body is born-again believers that have accepted Jesus Christ. So if you haven't been born again, make no difference what church you have been going to. If you haven't been born again personally by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross, I guarantee you, you will be left here during the time of the rapture, because the rapture is made for people who have repented of their sins and authentically received Christ in their life and walking in holiness and living in holiness and talking in holiness and doing what God has called them to do, and that is preach the gospel, love one another, do the works of a good evangelist, go tell somebody about this goodness and wanting to win souls to Jesus Christ. He said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must come hereafter. Immediately, in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Second verse said, immediately, meaning right now, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the church will be removed immediately. And at the same time, this mortal body that we carry around now will be changed from mortal body to immortality. In other words, this body that I'm in right now, it has to be changed before I can go to heaven. It has to be changed. And it can't be changed unless my life has been changed. Unless I have received the Holy Ghost, then when the rapture of the church comes, if I have received the Holy Ghost, my body will be changed. If I haven't received the Holy Ghost and haven't repented of my sin, guess what? I'll be left here on earth. I'll be left here on earth if I haven't been saved. I didn't tell you to do nothing but do what? Repent. What repent means? It means to turn with a broken, contrite spirit. You're broken up. You're upset that you have sinned against a holy God, a holy God. God so holy that he cannot look upon sin, so holy that he cannot bear sin. But let me tell you what he did. He became man so he could bear our sins. But to meet him face to face in the spirit realm, you have to have a new body in order for you to enter into the kingdom of God. And if you haven't been saved, you will never receive that new body until you receive Jesus Christ. So here, John is giving up an emphasis of the rapture of the church in the fourth chapter of Revelation. And immediately, right away, I was in the spirit. And that spirit means I have a glorified body. I will have a glorified body just like Jesus had a glorified body. And only God can do that. And God cannot do it if you haven't been saved. If you've been saved, then when that trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise. Whether you be down at the grocery store, whether you be at the bank, whether you be asleep, whether you be sitting on the toilet, wherever you are, if you have been born again, you will disappear in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and the mortal body that you're carrying now will be changed from mortal body to immortality, and you will be caught up in the middle of the air. And you will be headed for the judgment seat of Christ, where all the saints of God will be judged for the works that they have done on this earth. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my, get that church membership. You got to get that out of your mind, because church membership ain't going to get you there. I was raised in the Baptist, but I was taught the word of God. and whatever denomination you've been raised in, that don't say you going to church or going to heaven, because it's going to take more than going to church to go to heaven. It's going to take the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. It's going to take that for you to come to your senses and recognize Christ did that for the world, and he did it for you, so there's no excuses for you to walk around on this planet and live 30 or 40 years, or maybe 60 years or 70 years, and you never in your life repented of your sins and accept Jesus Christ in your life and had a changed life. If you haven't had a changed life, then most likely you've not been born again. If you haven't changed from death to life, and you can tell the world that I've been born again, I've been renewed by the Spirit, I've been washed in the blood, I've been justified by faith, I've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you can't tell nobody that, you got a problem. Your preacher can't even get that off of you. You're going to have to go to the cross. You can't go to the Pope. You can't go to the Cardinal. You can't go to the Bishop. You can't go to the Apostle. You got to go to Jesus Christ, period. Period on top of period. So what's happening? It says in the third verse, and he who sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the sight like into an emerald. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where the church is headed for. The church is headed for the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'm headed. I'm on my way. I'm looking for him any day. And I know the world is not looking for Christ to come back. They laughing, joking, playing. They doing their thing. They doing here, doing that. They ain't looking. The church, some parts of the church ain't even looking for Christ to come back. But Jesus said, the hour that you think not I come, I'm coming. I ain't waiting for you to finish college. I'm not waiting for you to get married. I'm not waiting for nothing. I'm going to take you. If you have been born again, I'm going to take you out of here. And those that don't know Christ, those that don't know Christ, those that don't know Christ will be left here. So while we are in heaven, while the church is in heaven, we are going to see the throne of God. And this is what's going on at the throne of God. This is what it looked like. Fourth verse says, and round about the throne were 24 elders. And up on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. These are the 24 elders at the judgment. These 24 elders are the 12 apostles and the 12 tribe of Israel. Those are the 24 elders, the 12 apostles, and the 12 tribe of Israel. The name of the tribe of Israel is found in the 7th chapter of Revelation. We ain't got that for yet. But the judgment seat of Christ, the 24 elders will be there. We will see that. We will see that in our glorified body. And like I said, if you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and have a changed life, and you have been filled, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the love of God, and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. If you don't love your brethren like God loves the brethren, you got a problem. And the problem is, you need to be born again. It ain't what you don't do, it ain't what you do. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't steal, I don't do nothing, I don't do none of those things. But that don't mean I'm going to hell. Oh, my God. Some people think they're cute. Some people think they're pretty. Some people think they're handsome. Some people think they got good education. Some people think they got money. That ain't going to get you there. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You're not getting to heaven on no works. You can work to your fingers to the bone. Whatever work you do, you can work. You can work in a coal mine till eternity rolls on. But you'll never get to heaven by your works. because your works and your religion is like filthy rags. It stinks before the nostrils of God. The only thing you can clean up on is the blood of Jesus Christ, because it sanctifies you. It destroys sin. That's the only thing that can destroy sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It gets rid of it. Ain't no washing powder. Ain't no Ajax. Ain't none of that cleansing power can get. You can stay in the shower until you wash every skin. Wash all your skin off your body. You still can't get to heaven, because heaven is not made for people who disbelieve and reject the blood of Jesus Christ. Not made for that. No sin will ever enter the heavens. No sin will ever get back into heaven. No sin will ever come into the presence of God, because when Jesus Christ comes, he's coming after a sinless church, and that church will be at the judgment seat of Christ, getting ready to be judged for their works. And their works consist of what did they do if they got saved? Because if you saved, you're going to be there, but you're going to be judged for your works, not for your judgment, not for your salvation, because your salvation has already been attained by you having faith in Jesus Christ. But your works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So where we at? We're at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the church at. Get ready to go. We get ready to go there. And it said, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is the throne. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be awesome. You talking about awesome. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be unique. It's going to be holiness everywhere. It's going to be holiness. Holy angels, holy God, holy saints. Everything is going to be set apart from sin. There won't be no sin in the presence of the judgment seat of Christ. The only sin that you will deal with at the judgment seat of Christ is the sins of the flesh that you've done while you was here on earth, because you didn't walk in the Spirit. You had the Spirit, but you didn't walk in the Spirit. And ain't nobody going to go at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord is going to say, well, I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't like the way you look. No. Only the righteous will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Only the righteous. And the righteous will get paid for their works that they have done at the judgment seat of Christ. And around the throne, sixth verse, and before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystals. And in the midst of the throne, round and about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. The first beast was a living creature, was a lion. The second beast, the beast of a calf. The third beast, the beast of the face of a man. And the fourth beast was the face of a flying eagle. Each one, these represent who Jesus Christ was. The lion represents that he was King of Kings. The calf represents that he was a suffering servant. The third beast, the face of a man, saying he was a human being. And the fourth beast saying that he is a flying eagle, which means that he's God. These four angels justify the deity of Jesus Christ, because he's king, he's a suffering servant, he was human, and he was a flying eagle, which means that he was God Almighty in a glorified body. Because the body that he had here, he'll have the same body, but there won't be no blood in him. There won't be no heartbeat. He'll be a spiritual living being with a body that will last forever, a body that will never be persecuted anymore, a body that will never go to the cross no more, a body that the weapons that we gave him here on earth is still on his body, because it's a significant that what he done for us that nobody else could do. Now, why don't you want to serve him? Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's going to look like, exactly what it's going to look like. You're going to see some phenomenal creatures. You're going to see angels that have the face of a calf and a lion and a man and a flying eagle. four faces. Each one represents the four gospels. And these four gospels give the life of Jesus Christ. So these angels are saying this. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rested not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." What you talking about? It was in the ancient time. It was in the present time, and it's going to be in the future time. Because God is a holy God. He's holy in the morning, and he's holy in the afternoon. He won't lose his identity of being a holy God. He's so holy that the angels cannot look upon him. He's so holy that sin cannot come in his presence. He's so holy that he said, "Now there's no other way that I can redeem man but by redemption. And there's no other man that can do what I can do. There's no other man that can become flesh and dwelt among us." In other words, no angels can do it. No cherubim can do it. No seraphim can do it. So God himself said, "If you prepare me a body, I'll go down and redeem man. I'll go down and be born in a manger. I'll go down and walk the seas of Galilee. I'll go down and be baptized by John the Baptist. I'll go down and do miracles. I'll go down and do one thing that I know I got to do. I'll go down and die. I'll die for man. I'll die for his sins. Who knew no sin but became sin. And when he became sin, the sin came from me to him. And since he was sinless, he took my sins. He took my lying. He took my backbiting. He took my craziness. He took my lust. He took everything and nailed it to the cross. And now I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to do what sin tells me, because Jesus Christ is greater in me than he that's in the world. You hear what I'm saying? We're living in a time of revelation. Revelation is almost getting ready to be fulfilled. So what we got? We got the rapture of the church. We got the judgment seat of Christ, which will be the judgment of the church. And the judgment of church says this. In the ninth verse, it says, "And when those beasts, living creatures, give glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sat on the throne and worship him who lives forever and forever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things for your pleasure, they and were created.'" These angels, 24 elders, bowed down, took off their crowns, and laid it at Jesus' feet at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because judgment of the church is in participation. The church must be judged for their works at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what's going to happen at the rapture time. When the rapture occurs, that's when I'm getting ready to go. And the only way I can go, I got to know who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He was manifested in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was justified by the Spirit. He suffered and died. He came from the grave. All power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he went back to heaven, and he's been gone for 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years are up. It's up. It's up the creek. We're almost out of here. The world can't stand but too much longer. Now listen to this. Listen. In the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter. This is in heaven now. Because the fourth chapter is when we enter into heaven. The fifth chapter is when we are in heaven. That's when the church will be in heaven. I say that again. The fifth chapter is when the church will be in heaven. Because after the fourth chapter of Revelation, you don't find the church no more. no more in the book of Revelation until when? Until when? Until when? Until the 19th chapter of Revelation. And we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to show you where the church will appear in the 19th chapter of Revelation. So you got from the 4th chapter all the way over to 19th chapter, you don't see the church nowhere because they're in heaven. And since they're in heaven, they are going to reappear in the 19th chapter. But in the 5th chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. This is the 7 seals getting ready to come up. And the 7 seals will be open in heaven, but the event will be taking place on earth. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof? Somebody got to open his book and break the 7 seals before the calamity comes up on the earth. And the angel said, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof? Third verse says, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. Now listen to that. There ain't no man on planet, inside the planet, on the left side of the planet, on the right side of the planet, has a power enough to open the book or break the 7 seals. Nobody. We in heaven now. Nobody is able to open the book or break the 7 seals for the judgment that's getting ready to come up on the earth. Well, what judgment is that going to be? Let's go down to the fifth verse. Fifth verse says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, don't cry. Ain't no use to cry. And he said, behold, the lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Who is the lion that come up out of Judah? This lion that come up out of Judah. And the root of David. Okay, I'm on my program now. You always want to play with me. I'll take care of you later. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later, honey. Yeah, Jesus Christ is all right. I'm here to tell you about the goodness of God and his love and his mercy and his joy that he has for you. Revelation gives us the point that we are getting ready to leave this whole planet. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, whoa, whoa. Come on, man. Oh, shoot. Shoot. Oh, man. Oh, God. Amen. Praise God. Still on. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. I'm here to tell you that in the book of Revelation, as we get ready to close it down, we are going to let you know what it says. It says, and beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Woo! Slain! The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of harp and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, who are worthy to take the book and open the seven seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us. Woo! Who has redeemed us? Redeemed us to God by your blood. Do you hear me what I'm saying? Redemption. Salvation. Atonement for your sins can only be remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ. God's blood. Shed on Calvary. He didn't spill it. He shed it. Nobody took it from him. He gave it. Why? So that your soul can be redeemed by the suffering, by the ridiculing, by him hanging for 6 long hours. And the angels had to prune the wings, and hell had convulsed. He died. He died for your sins and mine. He suffered. He suffered that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Don't go to hell. Please don't. Don't reject Jesus Christ. Come to him now. Don't play around with this old world. The devil's out to destroy your soul, your mind, your family, trying to destroy everything you got, trying to make you feel like you don't need Jesus Christ, make you feel like Christ can't save you, make you feel like you're worthless. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ gave his life so you would work more than money, gold, and silver, and laid his life down. They laid him down on the ground and put those spikes into his wrists and spat upon him and kicked him and mauled him and embarrassed him and whipped him and called him everything but the Son of God. And he didn't say a mumbling word. He just stayed there and said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It got so bad. It got so serious, it got so weighty that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsaken himself through Jesus Christ and let him suffer and die, that through his resurrection, man can be redeemed back to God by his blood. No blood, no salvation. No blood. No salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ cannot burn in hell. No. You hear what I said? The blood of Jesus Christ cannot burn in hell. You can't wipe Jesus Christ's blood away. It's indestructible. It's forever lasting. It will stay forever. It will be known in heaven. The blood of Christ is what redeems us. The cross will be the signal that lets you know that he died. It will never go away. So let me tell you something. If you've been born again, there's no way you can go to hell. No, you can't go, because the blood of Jesus Christ is in your soul through the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you can have a change of life. You can have a change of life. You don't have to die and go to hell, brother. This is Brother Bazaar speaking to you, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. Guess what? The rapture of the church. The rapture of the church will take place soon. And he said, and when he had taken the book of the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down at the Lamb's feet. So they found not somebody, but they found the man from Galilee. They found the man from the root spring of David, and they found the man that came from Judah, the line that came from Judah. They found him. And when they found him, they found the only man that could break the seven seals and open up the book. Otherwise, the book would never have been opened. But Jesus Christ, get a hold of this. Jesus Christ was the only one in heaven, on the other side of heaven, on the other side of the earth, underneath the earth, in the earth. He was the only one that was able to break the seven seals. And guess what? We're going to run on over here to the sixth chapter. We're going to run over here to the sixth chapter and see what the sixth chapter said when he opened the first seal and see what happened. Listen what happened. Real good now. And when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, come and see. One of the beasts said, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Conquering and to conquer. Conquering and to conquer. The white horse, for a fact, biblical fact, the white horse represents, this is what it represents, it represents the Antichrist. Now remember, the fourth chapter of Revelation was the rapture of the church. The fifth chapter was the judgment seat of Christ for the saints. So we go, where we go? We go from earth to heaven. And then when we get to heaven, we go back. The church don't go back, but we go back to earth in the sixth chapter, because that's where the Antichrist is going to come from. He's going to come from Western Europe. The symbolic of a horse represent the power that he has to ride a white horse, and that white horse represents a camouflage. It represents a deception. It represents a lying wonder. It represents a mystery to iniquity. He's going to come not on a white horse, literally ride on a white horse through the sky. No, he's not going to do that. But he may come through Jerusalem, because that's where he's going to make his home at. He's going to come to Jerusalem riding in a white limousine. Come on. And wearing a white uniform. Yeah, come on. Come on. He's going to have a white uniform on, because this man that I know, that I have already found, I know who he at. I know where he's coming from. He's going to wear a white uniform. I have seen him in a white uniform, and, man, you talking about tough. Ooh, man, cool as a cucumber. And this man that I know I got it out of the Bible, I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to put no, I ain't shucking and jiving. This man stands at 6'6". And he's coming from Western Europe. And he's 56 years old right now. He'll be 57 years old in January the 30th, 2025. He'll be 57 years old. But now he's 56 years old, and he's the king of Spain. I'm going to get this to you right now. This man is coming from Spain. Capital S-P-A-I-N. 6'6". He comes from Western Europe. His father was born in Rome. Generalissimo. This is Bible now, because a lot of people say, oh, how you get all that? How you get all that stuff? You got to read and study God's word. You got to pray over this. You got to fast and pray over this. You got to ask, Lord, show me. And the Lord's showing me this now. This man is alive, waiting for what? He's waiting for the world to receive him, Christ himself. Because there's no world leader. There's no world leader now that's going to bring peace to America. Ain't no world leader going to bring peace to the Eastern and Western Europe. Ain't no man going to bring nowhere. But this here man is going to come when? He's coming after the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church, the world is such condition now that they're saying, who's going to lead America? Who's going to lead the Western and Eastern Europe? Who's going to lead China? This man going to come on the scene and he's going to claim the deity of Jesus Christ, and the Jews are waiting for him. The Jews are looking for him. The Jews are preparing to build a temple for him. They're getting ready for the sacrifices of offering in the Old Testament. The Jews are looking for the Christ, which will not be Christ, but the Antichrist, and they are going to receive him as being Jesus Christ, because he is going to bring a peace offering to the Jewish people and tell the Jews, you can build your temple if we can settle the difference between the Palestinians and all the nations that surround you. We are going to make it fit that we can have a peace treaty. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying this Antichrist, listen to what it said. This Antichrist said, and he said, look real good now. Look at what it said. It says here, in the sixth chapter of the second verse, he said, and I saw, behold, a white horse. And he, that means it's going to be a man, not sitting on a white horse now, but a symbolic of the Antichrist presenting himself to the world as the Prince of Peace. He who sits on him had a bow, diplomacy. A diplomacy. He had a bow, but he didn't have no arrows. Because when he come on the scene, he's not going to come on battling. He's not going to come on trying to rule the world. He's just going to tell the world that he is Jesus Christ. And then it says in the conjunction, the semicolon, it says, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering to be conquered. You see, he's going to come on the peace platform. He's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people. He's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people. And the Jews are going to believe that he's Jesus Christ, which he is not going to be Jesus Christ. He's going to be the Antichrist, and which Satan is going to use in the middle of the tribulation, because after he gets the bow, then he says a crown was given unto him. So in the second part of the 3.5 years, a crown of authority will be given unto him, because in the middle of that tribulation, he's going to do a unique miracle that has never been done up on the planet since the beginning of time, and that is Satan will have power to raise a dead man from death. Okay. I'll hold it right there. Well, you going to tell me that the Antichrist is going to be assassinated? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Antichrist will be assassinated. After he makes that covenant for 3.5 years of a false peace, and this false peace will be in a presentable that the world will accept it, because the world has been in a chaotic condition from the beginning of time until this present day. And the things are not going to get better in America. It's not going to get better around the world. The world is going to be looking for a superhuman superhero. And this superhero will be energized by Lucifer, because this Lucifer, this devil, this diabolical demon, this serpent of all ages is going to what? He's going to reincarnate himself inside of the Antichrist body and resurrecting from the dead, and he's going to say that he is God Almighty, and the world will say, this is what we want. We want Jesus, because he's going to bring us peace. But they got the wrong Jesus. They got the wrong Jesus. This is the Jesus that Satan is bringing up. This is the Jesus that Satan is claiming to be God when he can't be God. He can't be Jesus, but he's going to make himself to try to take the place of Jesus. So he's going to do one of the most unique miracles of all history. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God on his own power. And Satan said, I'm going to do the same thing. And when he does the same thing, the world is going to think that he is Jesus Christ when it would be the devil himself incarnated. Do y'all hear me? Do y'all hear me? The devil is getting ready to do a miracle that has never been done in human history. Raise a dead man from the grave. The Antichrist is going to be assassinated. He probably will lay in the morgue in Jerusalem for 3 days and three nights. And don't you know, on the 3 days and three nights that he lay in the grave, at the same time, there will be a war in heaven. First and second heaven, there will be a war against Michael and his angels and against Satan and his angel in the middle of the tribulation period. And in the middle of the tribulation period, Satan will be cast to the earth and all his demons, and he will incarnate the Antichrist, and he will get up out the grave. And then when he gets up out the grave, the Antichrist will become the beast. He will become the raw, slew-foot, diabolical demon, diabolical devil. Lucifer, the fallen angel of all time, the old serpent, the wildebeest, the animal that has destroyed more souls than any other creature that have ever destroyed souls. And he's doing it now. He's driving folks right to hell because people won't believe in the word of God. They won't believe in the cross of Christ. They won't believe in repenting from their sins and turning from the Almighty God. They won't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. They won't believe in the sanctification of the Holy Ghost coming into their lives and changing their lives. They won't believe the love of God that passes all understanding. They won't believe that he stayed in hell for 3 days and three nights and preached to those in prison. And on the third day morning, he got up out the grave. They won't believe. Oh, no, no. But he got up anyhow. When he got up, he said, all power in heaven and earth is my hand. And he said, now, disciples, go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And I'm going to go on back to heaven. Within 10 days, I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came to tell me the church was conceived and born, and when it was born, it's been running for a long time. It's been running across the annals of time. It's been running in ancient time. The church has been running in the medieval time. The church is still running, good God Almighty. But when the church age is over, and everything will be done. The whole body of Christ, the body that's sanctified, going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And there we'll be with the Lord forevermore. And guess what? The Antichrist will come. And when he come, he'll come in a smooth talking, debonair language. And the man is coming from the 11th horn, spoken by Daniel the prophet. And Daniel the prophet spoke of 11th horn. And this horn had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things against the Most High. And that horn represents the country that came in as 11th horn in NATO. NATO now is putting everything in his hand. And NATO wants the 10 nations to come under this 11th horn. And this 11th horn is the Antichrist. In the 6th chapter, he's riding on a white horse. But in the 13th chapter, he becomes the beast. And when he becomes the beast, he will change the world. He will change the world in buying and selling. He will change the world in every aspect he can do. But they tell me, is he alive? Yes, he's alive. What's his name? Where did he come from? Well, the 11th country. And I don't search everywhere through the word of God, everywhere. Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea. I search all those books. I can't find nowhere where it was evident. But the book of Daniel evidence exactly where he's coming from. In the book of Daniel, Daniel lays it down to the bone. He called it 10 horns, 10 crowns. He said the 11th horn is the horn in which the Antichrist is coming out of. And Spain was the 11th horn that came up in 1986. Spain was in the European common market for 10 years. In order for them for Spain to become the head of that of the 10 nations, they had to become a democracy. And they did it from 1975 to 1986. In 1986, they tell me Juan Carlos was the king of Spain from 1975 until 2014. He was the king of Spain. But Juan Carlos got too old, and there was a lot of discrepancy in there. So he gave it to his son. Uh-oh, his son? Juan Carlos had a son. Yeah, his son is named King Felipe. Look on your YouTube. Look on your YouTube. Go to the library and look at the Britannica Encyclopedia. Look up the World Encyclopedia, and look at Spain, and find out who is the king of Spain now and how long he's been king. He's been king of Spain from 2014 until 2024, and he's king now, and he's waiting. He's anticipating for the trumpets to blow. And when the trumpets blow, the church is gone. And when the church is gone, that's the only time the Antichrist can manifest himself to the world, because there won't be no world leader more powerful than he is. Trump is trying to do all he can to try to save America, but people don't want to listen. They said if Trump don't get in it, it's over. It's over. If Trump don't get it, I'll tell you who's going to get it. The Antichrist will join up and tell NATO that we need America to link up with us, because America is the off branch of the British Empire. America was born through the British Empire. You remember the Revolutionary War, when the England tried to come over here and take over this country, and we fought a Revolutionary War, and guess what? We won. But let me tell you, they're going to take it over this time. NATO is going to come over here, and they're going to take it through the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to have enough power to rule three things that's necessity in living, and that is the economical, the political, and the religious power. He's going to control all three of those, and he's going to have an offer to the world. Look, you hear what I said? To the world, he's going to have an offer, and that offer is: receive the mark of the beast, which is the Antichrist, influenced by the devil, because he don't come to beast until the Antichrist resurrected from the dead. And the temple that the Jews are preparing to build now has become desolate, because in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to break the covenant. And the covenant will be that he is God Almighty, and he is taking over the world, and he will sit in the temple. He will remove the Ark of the Covenant. He will go into the Holies of Holies and sit there, and he will set up a beast called AI. AI is an image of the beast, and the beast will speak by the power of the false prophet, and the false prophet will cause the beast to speak, and the image of the beast will speak and say, though all those that will fall down and worship me and receive the mark of the beast through the modern technology and the state-of-the-art equipment, which is megabytes and terabytes and agabytes and all those things, and the mark of the beast will say, now, if you want to buy or sell, you're going to have to receive the computer chip. And the computer chip will not come into power until the middle of the tribulation now. But right now, they are manufacturing billions of chips in a hypodermic needle. And they are stretching them out across the countries and across the nations. The computer chip will be the main factor in the middle of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist becomes the beast and he sets up the mark of the beast. And this mark of the beast will be started by King Felipe. King, that's his name. That's the Antichrist name. King Philippi stands at 6'6", full military basic training, can speak 10 languages. 10 languages. He belonged to all the secret orders. He belonged to the Skull and Bone. He belonged to the Illuminati. He belonged to the Luciferians. He belonged to the Roman Catholic Church. He belonged to the Pope. The Pope would have to bow down to the king. Woo! He would have to bow down to the beast. The Pope will be the false prophet that will prophesy miracles over the world. He will say, fire come down out of heaven. He will predict many predictions. They tell me there's going to be an invasion. Uh-oh, invasion? What you talking about invasion? Invasion. Invasion of demons that's coming from first and second heaven, known as UFOs, unidentified flying objects. The objects are demons and devils and wicked spirits that's going to take over the world and their influence, because the church won't be here, and the only thing will be here is 144,000. 144,000 are the Jewish people that will be able to preach the gospel after the church is gone. When the church is gone, they will preach the gospel of the kingdom. And by them preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it will fall against the Antichrist, but they're going to try to stop the 144,000. But they can't stop the gospel of the kingdom. Whoa. Lord, have mercy. And they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom for 3.5 years. And the 3.5 years will be the first part of the tribulation period. And somebody said, well, how do you know that? Well, if I go to the 7th chapter of Revelation. Revelation gives me the 12 tribes in which they are going to preach the gospel. And they tell me 12,000 for each tribe. Somebody said, well, give me the roll call. The roll call is 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin. They will be instructed. The anointing men of God that will carry the gospel over 3.5 years. You talk about preaching. There won't be no church time then. It'll be preaching every day. It'll be preaching from January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. It will be preaching 3.5 years. They will call out and tell the world, Jesus is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And the world will get mad. The world will get angry. And they will try to stop it. Just like they tell me the nations of the world is trying to get rid of the Jewish people now. They're trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. But they can't do it because God said, these are my people, and I'm going to give them what I owe them. And don't you know God owed the Jewish people 7 years, 7 years that they would preach the gospel? Yes, they will, because he said, I owe you 490 years to preach the gospel, and I've been dealing with you for 483 years, because at 483 years, it was at the cross. When you nailed me to the cross, I cut you off, and I cut you off 7 years short, and I got to give you the 7 years after the rapture of the church. The Lord God Almighty is going to turn to the Jew, and when he turned to the Jew, he's going to tell the Jewish people, now is your time that I promise you to preach the gospel. And they're going to preach it. Good God Almighty. It's going to be televised. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on TikTok. It's going to be on Twitters. It's going to be on every internet that you can see and muster around the world. It's going to be on ABC, NBC. It's going to be on all kinds of radio and TV stations. The whole world is going to hear the Jewish people preach the gospel. And after they preach that for the first 3.5 years, they're going to do it. Church won't be here. because the church mission was done in the fourth chapter of Revelation. That was done. The church would be in heaven. We'll be looking down on this. We'll be seeing the effect that it will have upon the planet. We will be at the Lamb's Supper. We will get our rewards. We will meet all the Old and New Testaments. And as we go through the tribulation saints will be coming up later on. They'll be coming up at the end of the tribulation. They'll be coming in one by one. And you know when they got through preaching, did you know what happened? John said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I see a number. Good God Almighty. In the ninth verse, I see a number that no man can number. He said, who are these and where did they come from? And one of the elders said, don't you know who these are? They said, no, I don't know who they are. He said, don't you know these are they? These are they. Yeah, yeah. These are they that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church. These are they that gave up their lives for the cause of Christ. These are the they that rejected the mark of the beast. These are they that were willing to give their life up. And somebody said, what kind of nationality was it? He said, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne of God and before the Lamb of God. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying after the rapture of the church and after the Antichrist comes on a peace mission, the first 3.5 years will be a false peace mission. And then just after that gets done with that, John opened another seal. To make a long story short, he opened another seal. He said, I saw a red horse. He said, what did this represent? This red horse represents war and bloodshed. Just like the war is going on now, October the 7th, 2023, when Palestinians got under Gaza and dug through the earth 300 miles of tunneling and came up in hospitals, came up in the bank, came up in people's homes, and they invaded the Jewish people and raped their women and killed their babies. That was the beginning of the red horse riding. And it's still riding. It's going to ride to the end of the tribulation period. Because after Israel tried to blot out, after the Gentile nations and the Arabs tried to blot out the Jewish people, they're not going to be able to do it because God's going to fight for them. And after they get through fighting for them, they tell me Russia is going to step up on board. And they're going to step up on board because the United States is going to become a third world nation. A third world nation. A third world nation is going to collapse. And they are going to war. In the book of Ezekiel speaks of a war, the 38th and 39th chapter. A horrific war is going to start by Russia making an attack upon Israel to try to wipe them off the face of the earth. And God said, that's when I'm going to stomp my feet. I'm going to rock the world. I'm going to cause earthquakes. I'm going to cause hailstones fall. I'm going to shake the world so bad that every human being is going to feel the effect of an earthquake over there in the Middle East, all the way across the world, because the Lord God said, you're messing with my people, and that's the red horse that's called World War III. World War III is coming, y'all. Not that Brother Bazaar said it, but the Bible said it. Because Putin is getting ready to set up his army, set up his infantry, set up his tanks, set up his missiles, all this stuff that he's planning to do because he wants the Middle East, because Russia don't have no oil. Russia don't have no food. Russia don't have a whole lot of things. And they know that all the good food and all the oil and all the gas is over there in the Middle East. And they say, we want it and we're going to get it. But that's a lying wonder, because God said, I'm going to sanctify myself. In the book of the 38th and 39th chapter, I'm going to sanctify myself that every nation will know that I am the Lord God in him alone. That's the second horse. World War III, coming up. First horse, white horse, coming up. John said, I opened another seal and I saw a black horse. Black horse represents famine. Whenever war breaks out and the land is bombed and is shell shocked, going to mess up the land, man ain't going to be able to plant no food. And they tell me I saw a black horse with a pair of balance in his hands. And it's going to ride across the annals of time. And when it start riding, famine's going to strike the earth. Then man will fall into cannibalism. There won't be no water to drink. There won't be no food to eat. There won't be no meat to eat. Only one that will survive are those that have a whole lot of money and can escape the famineism that's going to hit this world, going to hit the planet, going to hit every area of the world. Why? Because God is saying, I'm judging the world now. I'm judging the world. I'm judging them for your sins. And so your lying, your cheating, your backbiting, your whoremonger, I'm judging the world, because the Lord said the world is mine and everything they dwell in. And he said, anything that sin against me shall die. And the world don't believe it. In the middle of the tribulation, like I told you, there's going to be an invasion. UFOs will be visible. UFOs will be visible in the sky. Angels will be visible in the sky. God is bringing judgment on the world for 6,000 years. 6,000 years, there's only been one universal judgment, and that was the day of Noah and the Ark. 6,000 years, the second judgment was at the cross. Woo! Judgment came upon the world. Christ took the judgment. He took the sins of mankind and nailed it to the cross so men could be set free. And the world is saying, I don't believe that. And the world is saying, I don't believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's for old ladies and old men that's crippled, blind in one eye and can't see out the other. The young folks said, man, I'm too young to be falling for that crap. This generation is telling God, take that cross, take that blood, take that suffering, take that hanging, take that death, take the burial in the grave, take that 3-day resurrection, and you can shove it wherever you want to shove it. We don't want it. But if you don't want Jesus Christ, who do you want? The world is saying, give me Satan. Give me Satan. I can have and do what I want to do. People today say, I ain't worried about hell. Hell ain't no, hell don't exist. Hell do exist. Hell existed before you were born. The world has gone mad. Mad, mad, mad world. Crazy. Why? Because demons are in activity. Demons are running like rampant. Demons is a cause. And the reason why we're going to have a world war. And it's going to end up, as General MacArthur said in 1945, August the 6th, in Tokyo Bay on the USS Missouri. He said, look, if we don't find a more equitable way to find our difference and settle our difference and find peace, Armageddon lies at our front door. And brother, you better believe it. Armageddon is getting ready. It's getting ready. The Euphrates River is drying up. The kings of the East going to cross over. and they're going to rampage Jerusalem and try to overtake it, and that's when the sky, S-K-Y, is going to open up wide open from the east to the west. The sky is going to open wide open. And God is going to destroy Russia and all its armies that come down on the mountain of Israel. And it's going to take a period of time to bury them, and the blood and the bloodshed and the carcasses will be laying on the ground, and buzzards and vultures will come in and eat the flesh of men, horses, and animals. It's going to be a mess right there in the Middle East. God is getting ready. And if God is getting ready, you better get ready. Because it's not going to be no Sunday picnic. It's going to be real. And I'm not preaching for money. I'm not preaching for fame. I'm not preaching to get a hand on the back. I'm preaching for the salvation of your soul. Your soul need to be saved right now. The 144,000 are going to do a 3.5-year revival, universal revival. And after the 3.5 years, they are going to be redeemed from the earth, and they're going to ascend into heaven. And after they leave earth, God said, I got 2 more witnesses to do the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the tribulation period will be consist of 2 prophets. Both of them come from the Old Testament. Both of them come with a mighty dynamite. Both of them come, one come from Genesis. One come from Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the other one comes from 1st and 2nd Kings. Elijah and Moses is going to return, because these are the only 2 prophets in the whole Bible that had not fulfilled their ministry. Moses smote the rock 2 times instead of 1 time, and then he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he spoke, and he hit it 2 times, and God refrained him from going and crossing over to the land flowing with milk and honey, and he buried his body at the foot of Mount Nebo until the day Satan's been trying to find the body to use it for idolatry and to keep him from coming back in the latter part of the 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And when Moses come back, he would have power to what? To turn water to blood. And that was the only prophet, the only seer that had able to turn water to blood other than Jesus Christ. And he's going to do the same thing during the latter part of the tribulation period. And Elijah was the man that caused it not to rain for 3.5 years in the book of Kings. And now he's going to fulfill it in the last 3.5 years during the tribulation period, where he will speak and say, it shall not rain for 3.5 years. And it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, and there's going to be a water shortage. The water will be turned to blood, and they're going to preach January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December for 3.5 years. They're going to preach so hard that the people on planet Earth will get so angry, and they will be cursing. They will be doing everything to try to stop these prophets. And guess what? These prophets will be seen worldwide over the internet. Do you understand what I'm saying? That black horse will be the famines of the famine. And after famine come, John said, I saw a pale, sick-looking horse, a bony horse, a horse that had a greenish color. This represents pestilence and diseases, from cholera to every known man disease will strike the earth, and people will be dying without a antidote. People will be dying without an antidote because the Antichrist, the war, the famine, and then after famine, diseases and bacteria. And there's so much illicit sex today. You got syphilis, you got gonorrhea, you got all kinds of diseases that's spreading across the world. Why? Because, number one, people rejecting God's mercy, rejecting his only son. And they will preach for 3.5 years. They will preach for 3.5 years. 144,000, 3.5. Two witnesses, 3.5. 3.5 plus 3.5 equals 7 years. 7 years must be fulfilled before 2030. 2030 is the last part of the last generation. We are living in the last generation. Ain't no other generation after this. This is done. When you got grown men taking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls and prostituting them and child molestation and child pornography and using these young girls as they'll get go and they'll get up. When you have people lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongers and drug addicts, when you got alcoholism spreading like wildfire, when you got venereal diseases going crazy, when you got mixed sex odysseys, all kind of mess going on. It's bad. It's diseases are so bad, they seem like they might have to shut down their health department. Because man is living so wicked and so dirty and so filthy that God said, that's what you want? I done gave you an opportunity to come to my son. Is that what you want? That's what you're going to get. And these two men will be assassinated. But before they're assassinated, nobody's able to kill them until God gives permission. They will be preaching day and night, every day, no stopping. No stopping to get lunch, no stopping to get nothing. They ain't going to have to worry about eating. They will be preaching the gospel. And it's going to get so bad that God said, I'm going to let the seven thunders be released. And the seven thunders were shut down in the book of Revelation. And John said, the writer said, John, don't write no more. Don't write no more. You don't gave the world 28 judgments. Don't write no more. And these prophets will preach until they be killed. And they shall lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. That's 72 hours plus 12 hours by 80-some hours. The radio, the TV, NBC, ABC, CNN, all those broadcasting, all the broadcasting stations will be pointed right at Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become the capital and the point of the return of the great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, well, where is the church? Where is the church? Well, I'm going to show you in my closing message that the church will be found in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And look how they look. Let me show you how they look. Chapter, the 11th verse. It reads like this. Second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the second phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first phase was the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church means that the church went to heaven. While we were in heaven, judgment was taking place on earth. Now we come to the end of the tribulation period, and here's the church coming back to the earth to what? To judge the world. Listen how it looks. This is how the church is going to look when it comes back with Jesus Christ. And I saw heaven open in the book of Revelation, 4th chapter. And he said, I saw a door open. And a door is different from heaven open. Heaven open is a wider space. But when the door was open, it's a narrow space. That's where the church enter in to be for the judgment seat of Christ. We stay in heaven for 7 years. after the 7 years open, John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Here's another white horse, but this white horse is different from the white horse in the sixth chapter of Revelation. The white horse in the sixth chapter of Revelation is the Antichrist. Here comes Jesus Christ, the real Christ, the ultimate one, the one that died on Calvary's cross, the one that's righteous. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he, capital E, capital H-E, who sat upon him was called faithful and true. You hear what I say? Faithful. God is faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make his war. His eyes was flame of fire, purifying, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vest dipped in blood. Whoa, there's the blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the army, there's the church. There's the church. There's the saints. I don't see no Baptist there. I don't see no Presbyterian there. I don't see no Catholic there. I see armies, which are the saints of God. All the saints who ever lived, meaning we will be with him at the second coming. So when we come back with Jesus Christ, we'll be coming back from heaven, when in the fourth chapter, we went to heaven. When we went to heaven, we was in heaven for 7 years. Now we're coming back with Christ from heaven. And the armies which were in heaven followed him up on white horses. So when we come back, we're coming back on white horses. Jesus Christ didn't ride a horse until the second coming. When he came to Jerusalem to be crucified on a donkey, he came on a donkey, which means a beast of burden. Now he's coming on a horse that's white, which represents victory. Victory in Jesus Christ. And we that are the saints of God will be riding on white horses, clothed. Good God Almighty, clothed in fine linen, blowing in the wind, white and clean. Oh, y'all ain't listen to me. White and clean, sanctified, glorified, edified, justified. We will be riding with Jesus Christ from heaven and coming back to earth. When we come back to earth at the battle of Armageddon, this is what Christ is going to look like. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. With it he shall smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce anger of the Almighty. And he had on his vesture, good God Almighty from Zion Hill, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls who fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free, bond, both small and great. This is the call, the battle of Armageddon, the final showdown between God and Satan. God and Satan. Satan hates God. And God hates Satan. They have nothing in common. No more, no more. And Satan will be done away with and put in the bottomless pit. And he will be in that pit, and all his angels, all his Nephilims, all the wicked demons. Heaven will be cleansed of all wicked spirit and cast into the bottomless pit. And they will be there for what? 1,000 years. You hear me? 1,000 years. The 1,000 years, Christ will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will rule the world for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And people who made it through the tribulation period in their natural body that received Christ but never was killed, they will be able, those that are saved will be able to go into the millennium reign and repopulate the earth one more time, one more time, one more time. God is going to give a man the last test, the last proof to humanity that there's one sin you can't blame on the devil, and that sin is unbelief. The Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. So if you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, came back from the grave for the justification of your soul, if you reject the blood of Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell and burn with Satan after the millennium reign and after the great white throne. There's three more battles to fight. World War III, the Battle of Armageddon, and Gog and Magog. Magog and Magog in 38, 39 chapter will be here on earth before the millennium reign. After the millennium reign is over, Satan will be loose one more time, and he will gather a number of people that disbelieved Jesus Christ while he was on earth, and they saw him, they walked with him, they talked with him, but they still rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, showing that man is totally depraved. You cannot blame that on the devil. The devil believes, and he troubles every name, every demon, every lying spirit. Trembles at the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can defeat Satan, and Satan knows he's been defeated. So now he's trying to make his last effort to regain God's place. He ain't never been in God's place, but he tried to do it, and guess what? After the millennium reign, and after the final judgment, the great white throne, the devil will be cast into what? The lake of fire that burns with brimstone. My friends, that concludes that study. I hope you could understand that. Let me tell you something. America's not going to get better. And going to church won't harm you. But if you're just going and never go to the cross, your soul is in danger of just going to church. You got to go. You need to go. You have to go. You ought to go to Calvary and fall at the foot of the cross and call on that mighty name of Jesus, because he loves you. Brother Bazaar loves you. I love you. Those listening out there, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to tell you, get ready. Get ready. You can hear all the news that you can hear. It ain't going to get no better. All the presidential elections and the shim shams that's going on, it ain't going to get no better. All what people trying to do, trying to make it better. They're building the houses. They're doing this. They're having parties. They're going on vacation. It ain't going to get no better. They're trying to sustain the finances. They're trying to do this. It ain't going to get no better. Come on to the cross. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why don't you come on to Jesus tonight? The only thing you got to do is lift up your hand. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm a low-down sinner. I'm just a sinner. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But you know, Lord, I believe And I'm going to confess with my mouth. And I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you say, if you believe it, confess it, and receive it, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I repent of my sin. Come into my life right now. I admit that I need you. I want you. In order for me to escape the wrath to come, I want you to be pleased with me because I accepted your Son and got my sin forgiven. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. I tell you what he can do. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you just now, just now. He will save you. He will save you just now. This is Brother Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. Go tell your friends. Go tell your friends. Jesus is on his way. Tell them to tune in on this here radio station and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever trusts in him, rely on him, depend upon him, and hope in him shall be saved. Come to Jesus today. This is Elder Bazaar. Love you much. Love you much. Love you much. Come back. I'll be waiting. God bless.